And now, for the first time in 4 years, I give you the Best Albums 2021 edition. And, you know, all this time, I've been locked away in quarantine, but not due to a regular pandemic, but just due to social isolation itself. I'm Travis Fudge, your host, and with me today is my brother, Tyler Fudge.
Yes, the brother of social isolation.
Yes, yes.
I tried to think of something to come up with, but I can't.
And now, it has not been 4 years since the last episode of Seven Deadly Spins, but it's the last time since I have done a best of album list. The
2016?
Last episode would have been with you for the Coheed and Cambria.
Oh, yeah. What was it, 2016 or something like that?
It was best of 2016.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I think the...
Fiddler was on it?
No.
No, you did an episode on Fiddler.
I did an episode on Fiddler. Yeah. That was a character feature I did. I think the two best albums I had for 2016 were Car Seat Headrest and Pup's Dream Is Over.
DVP. Or, yeah. Well, that's the song on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Dream Is Over. I think that those were the two. But instead of 10, I figured, Tyler, help me out with this. A little more apropos. Let's do the 7 best albums of the year.
Yeah.
The albums that we span the most into that Spotify algorithm.
Well, like, okay, well, if you want to talk about that, do you have your phone on you?
Yeah, I got my phone.
We might as well whip out our Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah, you want to do the Wraps
yeah,
as well?
Yeah, we
no,
might
let's
as well.
Do the Wraps.
We might as well do the Wraps.
I'll show you.
Because you know what? This is not a live episode.
Yeah, this is what
So we can do whatever the fuck we want with this, and we can take our time, we can edit things out, work around. Where do I find Wrapped now?
Tyler, do you want to do everything? Do you want to be like, what was your soundtrack to your
movie? We might as well.
Okay, sounds good. What we got here? 2021 was a movie. You were the main character. My opening credits theme is 24-Hour Drive-Thru by Origami Angel.
Oh.
Yes.
My opening credits theme is May 16 by Lagwagon.
Nice. Song playing as you defeat the ancient vengeful spirit is Transparent Soul by Willow.
The song playing as you proclaim your love is, oh, it's gone, but it's Bloody Valentine by
MGK. Jeez. I got a big collage going on here. Oh, I spent 26,533 minutes listening. 77% more than other Canadians.
27,362 minutes, 77% more than other Canadians. Oh, wow, we're brothers.
My top song of the year was Pitch Black by Heart Attack Man. Played it 34 times.
My top song was Wave Goodbye to Me by Jeff Rosenstock.
Nice.
I got really into Jeff Rosenstock in 2021. Really into him.
Not a bad thing. Top 5 songs, Pitch Black, Heart Attack Man, Track 1, Side A, Oso. No.
Mine's embarrassing. Mine's fucking embarrassing because it's 5 songs from Jeff Rosenstock's Worry, Wave Goodbye to Me, Pash Rash, Festival Song, Perfect Sound Whatever, While You're Alive. So, Perfect Sound Whatever, though, that's a beautiful fucking song.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. Okay, yeah. I don't care about the playlist.
Oh, these are album. Oh, my audio aura. Angst and Bold.
My audio aura is Angst and Defiant.
Wow.
Yeah. Can you, like, seriously, though, can you tell we're brothers?
Right. Jesus.
What
else we got? 76 different genres this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mine's 32.
No.
I'm a little bit more closed-minded than you are.
It's okay. My top genres, Midwest emo, punk, indie, grunge, and alternative metal.
Mine is grunge, punk, pop punk, doom metal, and progressive rock.
Not bad.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm listening to that classifies as doom metal so much.
Yeah.
I know I listen to Ogentroost a lot, but...
That could be it.
I listen to 314 different artists, but things are getting pretty serious with Jeff Rosenstock. You're in the top 0.1% of their listeners this year.
Nice.
You spent a total 2,900 minutes listening to Wave Goodnight to Me. fuck.
Oh, dude.
That's embarrassing. Top artists.
Origami Angel, Jeff Rosenstock, Oso, Heart Attack Man, and Mom Jeans.
Rosenstock, Origami Angel, Pup, Pearl Jam, and Kenny Hoopla.
Oh, not bad. Not bad.
What's funny is only one of those are on my seven albums. They're my albums that we chose. So I got in, like, the other two albums that I picked, I got really into it the last part of the year.
That's fair. Most of this is for the summer for me. You know, I'm like, well, I was there and I just fucking repeated those songs over and over and over and over again. But yeah. I'm not embarrassed by it.
No, there's no reason to be embarrassed.
And there is no reason to be embarrassed, because these albums we've thought about and played all fucking year long. So Tyler, do you want to start us off with your first one?
Okay, we can start off with my first one.
Now, these are most of these are not ranked by any particular order. Let's preface it with that.
No,
except for the last one, because we have agreed mutually on an album of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise, it's just going to be pieces of our favorites throughout the year, and then towards the end we will give you some honorable mentions. And yeah
that's like, about it. I will say, like, the order in which I will go with mine is roughly my order.
Okay.
Like, okay. Three, like, the first two it would hop back and forth, but I will go with right now that my first album of the year is going to be Every Time I Die's Radical.
Okay.
So I had heard of and heard bits and pieces of Every Time I Die. But like, I have to give this one up to Jim from Suplex City Limits, who was just like, yeah, check out this. You know, it was like, what got me into it was Andy, right? So, Butcher in AEW. He was like, okay, fine, I'll give it a listen. I was like, oh, this is really fucking good. I expected, because like, I like some portions of metal. But I grew up listening to Slipknot, so like, there's a lot of melodic portions of it. I didn't expect this to be, because I heard Planet Shit and I was like, ooh, it's pretty heavy, you know, like, I like it. It's pretty driving. You can tell the story behind it. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty angsty, as you can tell from my profile that we just talked about on Spotify. So like, it was all my wheelhouse. And when it kept on going, I was like, oh, this. A lot of the songs are like a little bit different. Like, Things with Feathers is super slow.
Oh yeah, it's a really great, great song. It's
to
my
me,
favorite.
That's
off the
best.
Album.
Yes, that's the best song.
It progresses
on the album.
So naturally, yeah, into a really, really beautiful song.
And I find like too, like, certain portions of it, and his voice in the, I think I would say the chorus of it, very like Tool-ish. Like, I'm not saying like they sound like Tool, but you could tell that there's at least some kind of influence from a Tool record in that song, especially where like everything's stripped down further, right? Like, and too, like, the thing with Feathers, the meaning behind the song is pretty dope too, right? It's about because there's two brothers in that band, the singer and the guitar player, and their sister had, I can't remember what the name of the disease was, Rett syndrome, and she died in early 2017. So they, and that song is about her. Right, and then the thing with Feathers is an angel. She elevates.
Yeah,
she permeates. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty cool. But no, like, Planet Shit. What's the other one? Let's see here. I can't remember. It's the main first single off of the album.
Post Boredom. Yeah, Post Boredom's really good.
Song. Yeah, yeah. First one I heard, I was like, is this Rise Against?
he sounds like the lead singer of Rise Against, but it's got like a monster truck vibe.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They're a pretty driving band.
Driving, for sure. White Void, Dark Distances are some of my favorites off of the album.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, White Void and Dark Distances a lot. Sex. I found them going down that Nickelback rabbit hole, and I'm like, I feel like they listened to this partying one night, and they're like, yes.
Yeah, no, I can get behind that. I can get behind just even the name of it. Just like, cringe.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say like every song on this album was like put on, you know, like, I would turn this album on from number one and listen through it most of the time.
It's a long album.
It is a really long album, right? Like, I'm used to, like, it is beefy. Like, the rest of the albums on my list are short, right? They're very short. And that's more of akin what I grew up with, right? Like, we've talked about it before, you know, like, Blink-182, 29, 32 minutes.
Yeah.
And like, that's what I grew up listening to. And so, like, this album being a little bit long, it causes me sometimes to go out of order and just, like, make a quick little queue of like six songs and go, right?
Yeah.
But like you said, Dark Distances, Distress Rehearsal, Thing with Feathers, Postmortem, Planet of Shit. Those were usually always on there. Big fan too of A Colossal Wreck and Desperate Pleasures. Just good stuff. Just good stuff. I'm a big fan of that album, and I didn't think I was going to be. And so it was like a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah. So there you have it. That's probably the heaviest album on our list for sure.
It's the heaviest album on my side. That's for goddamn sure.
I think it's on both of our sides. We'll see later on though. All right. So my next choice here will be A Mill and the Sniffers, Comfort to Me.
Mm.
And these guys are an Australian punk band.
Good. Because like as soon as I heard them, I was like, is this like the Chats but with girls?
Yeah, well, just with one girl.
Okay.
Yeah, just with one girl. Fucking pure, raw, balls-to-the-wall punk rock, I find. Very akin to old-school bands, I find, as well. AC/DC.
Really early AC/DC with Bon Scott.
Yeah, with Bon Scott, like Powerage area, or like High Voltage, got that kind of vibe. Amy Taylor, she reminds me a lot of Polystyrene from the old band, the X-Ray Specs. I don't know if you've ever heard the song Old Bondage Up Yours or anything like that.
I wouldn't be able to tell you a song that I would have heard. I know the name. Right?
Yeah.
That's about it.
But yeah, it's not the prettiest album, by no means. But listening to this album, it makes me feel like I'm at their show. It makes me feel like that this is a great representation of what they provide at a live show.
Yep.
I can fucking really get energized and pumped 100%. Up listening to this music. And I went back and I listened to the earlier stuff as well. Same thing, like, my God, man, the wall of sound that they produce for such a small band is great. But I guess
how many in it?
There's just four members.
Okay, yeah. So you got two guitar, or is she playing an instrument?
No, she doesn't play an instrument.
So you got two guitar players, bass and drums.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Just one guitar player. So I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah, I guess yeah. That would be five people in the band.
Yeah. In Australia, at the ARIA Awards this year, it won Best Rock Album.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So that's something else right there. Now, when I first found out about this band, I found out about them earlier this summer. Guided by Angels popped up in my release radar, which is the first song on the album.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I would go and I'd play it, because like, I didn't hear about this until you told me about it, right? A Mill and the Sniffers. I immediately knew what it was. Right, like I didn't have to listen to it to be like, okay, I know what I'm in for with that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna listen to that last. Right, so because I knew, like, just looking at the cover and just the name of it, I was like, that's gonna be up my alley in some sort of way. So like, let me start at what I don't think is gonna be up my alley and work my way there, so that I don't blow my load. Right?
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what, though? This album does blow my load in a little bit, in a way. Guided by Angels, I'll just, like, put on that album, press play. I'll go, like, two songs into it, and I'll be like, I'm going to go back and listen to Guided by Angels. Right? And I'll just go back and listen to that one. So, like, I go through the whole album, but, like, that song's really
that
fucking good, though.
That one keeps on, you keep on going back.
It's an earworm.
It is an earworm, yeah. When I got into that song, the album hadn't come out yet, so it was just that song. So it gave me a lot of time to go back into their previous material, I guess. But man, over the summer, I played that over and over again, because it's so different. Because she's yelling at you.
Yeah, she's not
like,
singing.
She's fucking yelling at you, and then the song continues to get more aggressive and more aggressive, and it seems like when they can't put more sound behind themselves, they put more sound behind themselves.
It's like a wall.
Yeah, 100%. Guided by Angels, Hurts, Choices, Don't Fence Me In. Those are some of my favorites off the album. Hurts.
I'm a big fan of Maggot.
Maggot is really fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Maggot! What is Maggot? Something. Maggot be afraid. Come on, Maggot, put your maggot in me. Yeah. Like, it's just a gross song because she's just talking about being fucking incredibly horny.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, really... like. I like the more how like women in music are able to like it's more forefront just being overtly just dirty.
Yeah, because sometimes it can shock you because it's new, and that's a new thing, is being shocked by music. And I don't know, man, but they do the D beats really well, like the classic drum beat for fucking punk, man.
You mean the I don't know if this is the right way to like, go over like yeah, like the Clash beat or whatever, like the Ramones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that's fantastic, and that's about all I have to say about that album. It's
about
just,
all I got to say about
that.
That's
about all I got to say about that album.
Okay, well, let's go with released June 11th, 2021. It's and this one here, for God's sakes, Jim, if you're listening, stop, okay? Because I don't want you to make fun of me. But Survivor's Guilt, the mixtape by Kenny Hoopla. Like this, I did not expect at all.
You didn't think that you'd like Kenny Hoopla? Well, like, now, you want to talk about shit right up your alley.
It's Kenny Hoopla, right? Like, when I think about that group of artists, like Mod Sun and all those guys.
Oh, poor Stacy and Willow.
Yeah,
and...
like, I don't, like, that's not, like, I dip my toe in it with the MDK stuff, right? Because, like, he's really, like, I'm a big pop punk fan as a kid, right? Like, since then, it's just been like trying to find the next band that made me feel like Blink-182 made me feel, right? Like, and you found it along the ways, really, like Coheed and Cambria, you know, things along those lines. But like, I was like, okay, I gotta check out Travis Barker's a part of it. I gotta at least look it up. And I looked it up and was like, oh, this is really catchy, right? And then go on, like, I can't remember where I heard of Kenny Hoopla. I know that I heard you playing this song is way too gonna cut my head off. But
that
I don't
would
care.
Be
something by the side of the highway. I can't
Jesus
remember.
Christ. How Will I Rest in Peace If I'm Buried by the Highway?
Yes, yeah. Yes, that song. And then you reminded me that our friend Colton Kelly used it on the
Change the Game show.
I was like, oh, that's where I heard that song. And so, like, I get into this album, and I'm not going to lie, from front to back, this whole album's bangers. There's not one song that I'm just like, I don't like this song. Like there's songs that I'm just, I can live without. Turn Back Time and Smoke Break, they're where it slows down a little bit.
Yeah, 9 to 5 is probably the one song that I can't really... 9 to 5 Love Me, that's the one,
yeah,
right there.
This last song on the album.
It loses me a little bit because yeah. It's such a complete energy that they send you on for that first little bit, and I'm consistently loving every bit of it. I like Smoke Break, too.
It's a good song. It's a little mellow, but like you're totally into the mellow music, though.
I just like
I
the
am.
Line, I've challenged you to a duel. Maybe on your smoke break. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, you're just a skinny little kid, man. Like, what are you...
Yeah.
Are you talking about Yu-Gi-Oh? Or are you talking about, like, a real duel here? I just like to think about a music video of him actually, like, doing, like, a fake Western duel thing or something.
And I think there is a music video for this song, too.
You know, I would love to see this guy take Skiba's spot in Blink-182, but, like, at the same time...
He can't play an instrument.
Well, whatever, but... I thought I saw him with an instrument.
He might be able to play an instrument. I've just never seen him play one.
Yeah, well, at the same time, though, I would not want that because I think that he could carve his own path either
way.
Oh,
he doesn't need him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's so talented.
Oh, yeah.
He's so talented.
Like, even the stuff before Travis, like, because first I listened to this album, and I'm like, how much of this is Travis Barker, though? You know what I mean? Because, like, obviously Travis Barker has an ear for music. He's involved with a lot of these younger artists that are coming up and kind of reviving the pop punk sound. You know, it's something that, you know, died a long time ago, I feel. And now it's just starting to come up, but everything comes back in 20 years, really. That's just the way it works. People are shocked every time. It's like, oh, Bell Bottoms are back. It's like, yeah, whatever, man. Everything comes back. Flannel's never going to go out of style for me, though. I digress. to me, the top song on this album is Silence Is Also an Answer, and it's the first song.
That's a great song.
It's tremendous. Absolutely tremendous.
White trash and sense of humor.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. It's awesome. But what really got me into the album, though, was Hollywood Sucks.
Yeah, Hollywood Sucks is one of the first singles off that album.
I think so. It came out around April.
Yeah. Really? I really like the Descendants hook on Inside Heaven's Mouth is a Sweet Tooth. Like, that opening riff to that is a Descendants riff from, the I Don't Want to Grow Up era. Yeah,
I like how that song and as well Survivor's Guilt has, like, a contrast compared to what the rest of the album is. It doesn't get heavy, but there's all an obvious change in his voice.
Yeah.
Right? Like
he has that in his earlier material, I find.
Okay, okay. I've only listened to this and the EP before it.
Okay.
So that's all I've really heard. But no, I'm a big fan of it. I did not expect it at all. It shocked the shit out of me. It almost was my first one.
Has he made a fan out of you for sure?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'll definitely be checking out more Kenny Hoopla as it siphons out. Hopefully he's with Travis Barker. Cause I find it's a good synergy. And before we go on this, just being a big Blink-182 fan, over the last 10 years, it's very evident to see who has the better, keener ear and more talent towards music out of the three of them. And it's the only one that stayed relevant out of the three.
Travis
Barker. Yeah. Right? Like, you can see it in like the early 2000s when he was working with Rihanna and doing remixes of everybody's tunes and just making all their songs better. It's like Soulja Boy. I never thought I'd ever listen to that fucking song.
Oh, yeah, he turned that thing up to a fucking 11, man.
Yeah. So, it's just great stuff. And I was very surprised and very happy to see it.
Travis Barker, Artist of the Year. But really, though. Next up is The World Is a Beautiful Place, and I Am No Longer Afraid to Die's Illusory Walls. Now, Tyler, this would probably be the one that is stepping out of your comfort zone the most.
100%.
Yeah. Now, with that being said, I'm very interested to see what you think about this. I'll just give you a little bit of a description
before. Give it to me.
So whenever I describe this band to anyone, I always describe them as a very technically good and a very like full band.
Yeah.
That's the best way that I could describe them. There's only about five or six members in the band. Now, they've went through a catalog of people. But I find that they have a slight resemblance to Coheed and Cambria in a way. They're not as like, I find Coheed is very over the top, not in a bad way, but obviously they are. They have a comic book after themselves. They create their own lore.
They're Broadway metal.
But they have this like progressive element and this soft side where they tell like very beautiful stories and stuff like that. And this album here is the first album since a few band members left. One of the founding members of the band had died, Tom Diaz. Really? Yeah, so I don't know if I'm going to read into this as much as is needed, but I find that this is... it's an album that's romanticizing the past and past relationships and love and loss and a lot of sentimental topics, more or less.
All you have to do is look at the names of the songs and you can tell that that's what this album is about. Like you can even like obscure ones, like Your Brain is a Rubbermaid. It's like your brain holds in and keeps everything fresh.
It's a storage container.
It's a storage container. Yeah. Right? Like it allows it to not go bad as fast. Exactly. It's memories. And you've stored all these memories in your Rubbermaid, right? And you got them whenever you need them. You know what I mean? It's you don't even really need the Dear to Music to know. They wear their heart on their sleeves as a band, it seems.
Yeah. It would seem that way.
Yeah.
And this is definitely one of the more heavier and proggier albums that they've put out. They've been around since probably the early 2010s.
Okay.
And I mean, everything that they put out is all technically great. They have a new female singer in the band who plays keyboards as well.
Oh, there wasn't always a female singer in the band?
There was a different female.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, it's like, wow, they went really heavy on the female singer for the first time. Okay, fair enough.
No, she's on Queen Sophie for President, which is one of the better songs on the album. It's one of the singles, I would say. And Your Brain is a Rubbermaid, previously mentioned. So, Tyler, the band has said that this album is heavily inspired by the video game The Dark Souls.
Oh, really? I've never played it.
Particularly the
single. I can see it, though, from the picture, though.
Yeah. Particularly the single, Invading the World of the Guilty is a Spirit of Vengeance.
That's my favorite song.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's a song that I figured that you'd really like.
Yeah.
Which also sounds very Dark Souls-ish, because in Dark Souls, people will invade your world through a portal, and then they'll just fucking kill you. So it sounds like a Spirit of Vengeance, invading the world of guilty.
That's very cool.
So before I get your thorough analysis, my favorite tracks on the album were We Saw the Birds Through the Hole in the Ceiling, Died in the Prison of the Holy Office, and Queen Sophie for President.
There you go. Like my this album here, a little bit too mellow for me as a whole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but I always appreciate listening to something different. You know what I mean? Because, like, I forced the first listen through, I won't lie, I was like, fuck, I do not like this. I was like, I don't like it. And so then I went on YouTube. I started looking at videos. Because, like, what I found for myself, visual aid will sometimes help me like music. Like, you give me a good music video, and we're like, oh, okay, that I really like. You know what I mean? And so, like, that helped me get a little base where I was able to listen to the album as a whole and just experience it and appreciate it more. But now, will I listen to this album as a whole anymore? No.
Will the last two songs kill it, eh? The 15-minute song and then the 20-minute song.
I'm not gonna lie, I listened to each one of those songs once.
That's fair.
And I really wouldn't be able to tell you much else about it. It is a little too long for me.
You're afraid the last track is literally a long, like, outro. That's all it is. It's a 20-minute outro. Yeah. There's nothing to it.
Yeah. But no, like, the first three songs, though, like Afraid to Die, Queen Sophie for President, and Invading the World is a Guilty Experience of Vengeance, will make my, what's the name of, I got a playlist. Good shit or something like
good
that.
Shit.
Something like that. Nice. It definitely will be going on to those playlists for sure.
Excellent. Well, that's good to hear. At least there's some redeeming quality out of it.
There's always like even when we did that David Duchovny episode.
Oh my God!
Like,
what
there's
a
still a redeeming
hell
quality.
Hell or high water.
Yeah, there's still a redeeming quality in it, even if it was the fact that I'll never listen to another David Duchovny song ever again. Right? I'll appreciate his X-Files work much more.
Yes. You could have had this.
Yes.
It's like Undertaker playing basketball. You could have had him playing basketball instead. He could have been the ginger Larry Bird.
Gross.
All right, so I got two more for you here before we go into the best album of the year, Tyler. I'm going to give you an EP.
Mm.
That'll be
of a band you know I like.
Yeah, I know you like them. We saw them live. Volcano Park by Meatwave. This is a band that does not fuck with how they sound. I'll say that. They have layers, but those layers are prevalent on all their albums. There's just more finesse. Or mood on it, depending on which album that you decide
more
to...
Ambiance,
yeah, exactly. I like the themes that they get at on this album. It's a lot of a lot of societal problems of today, I find, except for the later half of the album. But I find Tugboat and For Sale really get into that kind of stuff on like how everyone kind of has a value for the wrong reasons, more so today.
NFTs.
Exactly. Yeah, they just take so many different moods and they stuff them into such a short amount of time here, because Tugboat and For Sale are such a fast-paced fucking slap to the face, like Meatwave style. They're giving you a Meatwave right to the face, man.
That's what I like about Meatwave.
Yeah.
Because their music is like a wave of meat slapping you in the face.
Then
and
they
his
have...
voice, too.
Oh, I love his voice, man, because it's so aggressive, but like it's also familiar to me, too, because when he gets really slow, it's still really good.
Oh,
like, he can do slow songs really good, because he gets really dark with it. Yell at the Moon is a really slow-paced, growly song. Like, I find that you got to wait for the payoff of that song, because it might not catch your ear immediately, but after a while, it's like, yeah, okay. this is what I thought. And then Truth Die is my favorite song on the album. I think it's a really, really pretty song, I'll say that.
Yeah.
It's just not something that I see out of Meatwave often. They'll do, like, one of these songs on each album, and they'll be in the middle of the album, and you'll kind of drive by it.
Then
after a while, like, you'll kind of like stop and like kind of listen to it while you're on that drive through the album. And yeah, with that drive going on, Nursing and what else? Fire Dreams. Nursing is your obvious outro, and same thing with Fire Dreams for the most part. They're kind of throwaway songs, if you want to call them that.
When the EP ended, the first time I listened to it, I was like, did I lose internet connection?
It's pretty short.
Yeah, well, like, the shortness, and I didn't expect it to end like that. But, I mean, it's an EP. You know what I mean? So, like, it's not going to be structured the same. Generally, an EP has the heavy hitters at the top and the lower ones at the end because you want to catch them first. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
But I will yell at the moon. I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
I'm generally just a big fan of when Meatwave just gives you aggressive guitars, just chugging it as fast as they fucking can, and just going all out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because when we seen him live, the thing that stood in my mind is the whole time he's playing, he looks like he's pissed off at everybody who came. Right? Like,
yeah, like that dude channels something, and it's great. Oh, it's man. Great. Like, you can tell it's in his awesome. Music, and yep. that's what I like about the man. Yep. Like, if I could give this album to anyone that went to like a fucking regular punk rock show, I think that they'd find something to like about it because yeah. there's no fucking around with Meatwave, man. Like, they don't sugarcoat a damn thing.
No.
There's no frills, nothing like that. It's just fucking, I guess they're post-punk. Like, I don't know
yeah,
what to call them.
I guess you'd call them post-punk. But, like, when you said earlier, like, they don't fuck with their sound at all. And that's one thing that always worried me about Meatwave. Because, like, you see it in other bands. Like, I can't stand listening to White Reaper anymore.
Oh, they've changed so much.
Yeah, like, from being, like, almost like an 80s throwback kind of pop rock band. Now they're just, like,
pop.
Yeah, they're Imagine Dragons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, when you hear Meatwave, when you're saying they use a lot of layers and everything, listening to, I can't remember the album with Incessant on it.
The Incessant, yeah.
Okay, that is the name of the album. Okay. Just listening to that album, I was like, oh, I really dig this, right? Because, like, Brother is my all-time favorite. Like, that song is just a fucking banger.
Yeah, but, like, Brother is a really good song.
But listening in Incessant, I was like, I really hope that, like, they don't change too much because, like, you could see that, like, there's, like, some layers going on. It's like,
Well, The Incessant's a concept album.
Oh, is it?
So I think that that's probably something that if they go and down that route again, I'm really interested.
Yeah.
Because I want to see what they put out for a full length. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. 2017,
yeah. The Incessant came out, and that was a good album, but it seemed, I listened to that a lot, and it seems like it was an exhausting album to make because there's a lot of emotional topics that are really dark on that album. And at one point, I didn't think that they were coming back. I was like, okay, this dude treated this as therapy. He's done.
He's got it out. even with this, like, the mellower song, because, like, Incessant is one of the tamer. If that's the right word.
On the album?
On, like of their music.
Yeah, because Delusion Moon is, like, fucking balls to the wall heavy.
But Incessant is the same, but in a different way. Like,
it's got moods.
The drum beat going, doom, boom, 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 doom, boom, 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 right? Like,
and all they do is just hit the drums harder.
Yeah.
Like, they don't pick up the speed.
No.
He just keeps on hitting it, but he hits them harder as the song goes on.
And, like, as the song builds to, the guitars really swell. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like the guitars get louder or they change tone. They just swell and just get bigger. You know what I mean? It's just like the whole song just crescendos to the end. And, like, but, like, that Meatwave, like, that's the completely different, like, facet of Meatwave than what you're really given on this, I find.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
This is more of a Brother or Delusion Moon type deal.
It almost seems like something back to the roots, and it's weird to say that, but they're a band that's been around since 2011.
A long time. Chicago, right?
I think so.
I think it's Chicago.
They're from the Midwest, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, what a great album. I just can't wait for them to put out another full length. I absolutely can't wait.
Yeah. Both of us had basically an EP on our list.
Yeah, the Survivor's Guilt mixtape.
Yeah.
It's pretty much an EP.
Pretty much, well, an EP.
But you know what?
Eight songs.
It's still something that's been put out, you know? I almost put... Yeah. There's one thing on my honorable mentions that is literally one song, but it it's an EP, and I was thinking about putting it on the list.
Oh yeah. Like, to me, honestly, when you think, I think the concept of albums all the time, like a cycle of an album every year or two, I think is ludicrous. Like, to me, I would be much more, I would feel much more serviced if a band like released 5 songs a year. You know what I mean? Like, release an EP, because back in the day, that's how it was. People didn't release an album of 13 to 16 songs. They released little fucking, like, what is it, 17 or 16? What was the size of the, you fit like 4 like songs 7 inches. On it. 7 inches.
Well, man, the Beatles would just like release a song like a week and just be like, oh yeah, that would, we'll put that one out this week and call it a day. Well, like,
you get better quality.
What I've seen a lot from a lot of artists this year is that they'll release a lot of songs over the course of a year and then just at the end of it just kind of wrap a bow around it and call it an album. And that's fine. Like, do that. Like, just give me some fucking material. Keep yourself relevant in my head.
Yeah. The Jeff Rosenstock's 2020 dump.
His 2020 dump, his Ska Dream, his No Dream. That dude didn't stop this year. It's crazy to think how good of a year music had that Jeff Rosenstock's No Dream is not on this list.
No Dream came out in 2020. Ska Dream came out this year.
Holy fuck. That's right. That's thank you, Tyler.
Yeah, because I was like, immediately I was like, No Dream's going to go on my best of. And I was like, oh, wait. No, Ska Dream was. I can't put Ska Dream on my best of.
No, it wasn't.
Not a big enough fan of Ska Dream.
It wasn't enough
Ska
for me.
In general.
No.
Sorry, Scotty.
All right, Tyler. Before we get to the honorable mentions, I'm just going to quickly dive into the next participant
on another band we both like, another band we both saw.
Yeah, exactly. This is Fuck Art by the Dirty Nil. This album came out New Year's Day 2021.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday this Friday. Well,
this song comes out after.
Okay.
Cool. This comes out on Monday.
Happy birthday, Fuck Art. You can buy this album on the internet with your customized dog's or pet's photo on the album cover. It's a beautiful album cover. I recommend you guys look at it. If you don't know who the Dirty Nil are, then they are a band with a big arena sound from Canada.
Yeah.
They do not play big arenas. They play small clubs.
But they sound like they can play big arenas.
They have big ambition. They're heavily influenced by late 70s arena rock, glam rock, like Cheap
Shocker.
Crazy. But they also have some like thrash punk influences. This album gives a subtle reference to Turnstile.
Yes.
In the fucking first Doom track Boy. On the album. Slayer, what else? Cro-Mags and Turnstile are the three bands referenced in that song.
They're playing the back of my Dodge Caravan.
Tell me, girl, do you like the Cro-Mags and Turnstile? If you do. Yeah, a great song. That's a great song. That's the opener.
The Dirty Nil, every album has bangers on it.
Higher power.
Which is the first album I ever heard from them.
Is it their first album from front to back?
It's fantastic.
Oh yeah, great. Fucking 100%. Great band. Great band live. The rest of the albums that they put out a compilation, Minimum R&B, which is a great album. It's all of their singles before the first album. Yeah,
Cinnamon.
And then they put out Master Volume, which is a good album.
I didn't get into that one.
It's not perfect from front to back, but it's got a lot of good songs on there.
Yeah.
That's What Heaven Feels Like. Oh, I Don't Want That Phone Call. Fuck, great songs. And I believe Fuck Our... Then they put out a bunch of singles, which were covers. They put out bunch of covers, and yeah, we're at this one with Fuck Art. I think it's one of the best albums of the year for sure. It's probably my number two.
Yeah, there you go. There
I would go. Say it's my number two.
This one is definitely going into my, like, this album saved on my Spotify. Man, you know what, man, like, and I was going to give it a true shot just on the name alone of To the Guy Who Stole My Bike. I had to get to that song. You know what I mean? It's like, I need to get to that song.
And I think that's a great story that he tells. Like,
yeah. You don't have to love that song.
That sounds like a campfire song, like to the guy who stole my bike.
Yeah, like you don't have to like that song just to be like, yeah, no, that the story of that song is just fun. You know what I mean? Like, not saying it is akin to A Boy Named Sue, but it has the story of like.
But he's a big fan of old outlaw country as well. Yeah. I can't
look what the shirt he wears, the sequin shirt he wears. Oh, yeah. Every show that like, he's on got
a
cycle.
He does a great cover of John Prine's "Sweet Revenge." Mm-hmm. Yes, he does. I think his name is Luke. He looks like okay. Luke. I don't know, but anyways, yeah. Great videos on this album. They had Doom Boy, where he is destroying shit in a jackass like speedy 3-minute burst in a Dodge Caravan.
Yeah, because the song's about his Dodge Caravan.
Yeah, his mom's Dodge Caravan. Blunt Force Concussions, like a washed out 60s vibe. That's a fun video. It's probably one of my least favorite songs on the album, but that's just because it's Dirty Nil stepping out of their comfort zone, I guess.
Which
is another band. They don't fuck with their sound. They consistently sound like who they are. Like when if the Dirty Nil were to pop on the radio, I would be like, no matter what song I heard, that's the Dirty Nil.
Like Dirty Nil to me is summed up in one visual experience. Letterkenny. They're Letterkenny. That's
you think?
That's like the first bit of promotion they ever got was Letterkenny.
I know. It was
right.
It was a dumb fuck. What song? Zombie Eyed?
Yeah. Zombie Eyed. At first I was going to say Wrestle You to Husker Du, but no.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I think about Letterkenny a lot when I think about the Dirty Nil.
Just because of that, but like I can't even remember how I got into the Dirty Nil.
You got into them with the magazine.
The magazine.
Yeah, you were doing song reviews.
Oh, is that with Vulture Hound?
I think Higher Power was one of them that you did. Because you tried to get me into them, and I didn't like them at first. I didn't bite.
And I was shocked. And then one day, I heard you playing, I believe, Wrestle You to Husker Du.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. It was like okay,
A concert with them and Bleached, which is another band that you saw on Vulture, that you found from Vulture Hound as well.
Yeah, them, Bleached, and... Against Me, wasn't it?
That's who we saw. Yeah. That was a great concert.
It was a great show.
Great concert.
Bleach. That's one of those bands that veered out of their comfort zone, and I no longer listen to.
Oh man, but that EP right after.
Oh yeah.
After that album with Welcome the Worms.
Welcome the Worms.
Welcome the Worms, yeah. And then the Kenny Deal EP. Just fantastic.
I thought that was going to be one of my favorite bands.
Yeah, they just kept on changing. Did. But the albums before that are not bad, if you ever listen to them.
I gave them a listen. It's not as much of my thing, but
for the feel. That's a good song. And we're doing it for the feel.
they went in a more rock vibe in Welcome the Worms, and it really and it welcomed great. Me. Right? So yeah. I am the worm.
They should have just stayed right there.
Yeah.
Well,
Wednesday Night Melody is a goddamn banger.
Yeah, it is. One of the best songs.
No, Bleached will not be in my honorable mention.
Straying away from Bleached, another great video with Damage Control, the very Rick and Morty-esque one. It's my favorite song on the album as well.
It's a good song.
And other than that, Hang Your Moon, One More in the Bill, Ride or Die are also some of my favorites on this album as well.
Why don't you just say the whole album?
I love that album from start to front, except for
Bruffalo's Concussion.
No.
Done with Drugs?
No, Elvis I 77. Love Done with Drugs.
Fuck, Elvis 77.
Like, I like that song as well.
Possession.
It's not Possession. It's the
Hello
other
Jealousy.
One.
Hang
Hello
Your
Jealousy.
Moon.
It's Hello okay. Jealousy. I don't like that one very much.
Okay.
I think it's pretty boring.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. It is, actually. It is.
What's up, everybody? This is Rob from the Wild Young Hearts. Here to give you my top... albums and songs of 2021. All right, my top five albums in no particular order. Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band live at No Nukes. This has been a bootleg favorite of fans for years. It was officially released about a month ago. It fucking rips. Young Thug, the album Punk. I fucking love that shit. I love Thugger. Very fucking creative motherfucker. Take the Sad and Sour Saturday Night by Bleachers. My favorite modern artist at the time, I think. Shit Kills. Sour by Olivia Rodrigo, because I am a 15-year-old Valley Girl at heart, I guess. So that's definitely on there. And I said I wasn't going in an order, but this was my favorite, was Donda by Kanye West. I fucking love Kanye West. All right, top songs of the year. My top songs of the year, Jail Part 2 by Kanye West, Deja Vu by Olivia Rodrigo, Stop Making This Hurt by Bleachers, Valley Boys by the Wild Young Hearts. That came out this year. I'm putting my fucking self in here. Fuck it. And All Too Well, the 10-minute version by Taylor Swift is on there as well. Ooh, I don't know. I fucking love that Hollywood Sucks song by Kenny Hoopla. That's up there as well. Also, Meet Me at Our Spot by Willow, the daughter of Jada and Will, or Tupac. Not sure. Yeah, anyway, so I guess that's it. I don't really know. Oh, I like the one Drake song too. Actually, I want to put the one Drake song on there where he's like, staring at your dress because it's see-through. That one. He's like, say you a lesbian. Well, me too. Like, I can really, I guess that's cool. That's identifiable, I guess. I don't know. That's probably in my top five. Or the other Drake song. I don't know. There's always a Drake song every year that comes out and no one ever knows what the fucking name is. But there's like a line that's like in all the memes or Instagram captions. I don't know. Fill the spot with that. I can't think of anything else. Oh, no, never mind. Hurt Less by Lolo. That's my fifth song. Yeah, now fuck the Drake song. That song bangs. All right, I'm done.
It is boring. So I got a new chair and I keep on going back. I
you keep on fading out.
Yeah. Give Travis shit for it all the time, and now I'm fucking public enemy number one. So we might as well get into some of the honorable mentions. How many do you have?
How many honorable mentions do I have? I think I have about six.
I got four.
Okay. Sounds okay. Good. Charlie, you just give me all four you got.
How about I do one, you do one.
Okay.
Okay. This one's a EP/single. Drug Church's Hygiene/Million Miles Ooh, of Fun.
Drug Church is good. I like them.
Fantastic.
A lot.
That recently came out, and Million Miles of Fun has been played a lot since then. Big fan.
I'm gonna go with Fucked Up's Ear of the Horse.
Ooh,
the 27 minute epic.
I haven't listened to
it's
that
great.
Yet. And I should give me more Damon. You know, like, we're primarily a wrestling podcast. If you're not familiar, the wrestlers on Vice was the lead singer of Fucked Up. Gammy Gang by Origami Angel.
Ooh, yeah, great album. Poppy's Flux and her Eat EP.
Ooh.
Yeah, she was on fire this year, man. I absolutely love her. My favorite guilty pleasure.
There you go. Fucking A. Coheed and Cambria, Shoulders, and Rise and Anashi. Really, like, I don't have a lot of other albums on most of them are just like singles and EPs that came out.
Okay.
But that's what a lot of bands are doing these days.
Oh, you're right. Absolutely.
They have an album come out, and in the year prior, 2 years prior, it's just like every now and then we'll release a couple songs. Right.
Graduating Life's 2 is my next one.
I've never heard of that before. Might have to give that
Midwest emo.
Oh, Origami Angel.
He's guitarist
Modern
Mom
Baseball.
Jeans.
Oh, Mom Jeans. Mom Jeans is great. I love Mom
Jeans.
Yeah,
he's the guitarist of Mom Jeans.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely will give that a listen, though.
Do you have any more?
I got one more, and you might have this one on yours.
Okay.
Pup, Waiting, Kill Something.
Ooh, no, I didn't have that on there, but I do agree. I love that A and B side right there for sure. My three that I have left are Idols, Crawler, fucking some of the best work they've ever done. Heart Attack Man's Thoughts and Prayers EP, that's with Z's.
You know it's cool.
You know it's cool, yeah. Fire and Lightning Bolts. And Jerry Cantrell's Brighton, his first solo
Ooh.
Album since 2001's
Ooh.
Degradation Trip.
Okay.
Which is a hard album to not put on my list. If I was doing a top 10, I would have been able to fucking nail this one so easy. But this was fun. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Do you want to run down what we're going to do next time on the Federation? Because we won't be talking on this
no
on this platform for a while, but
yes,
it will not be the end.
No, no, I'm sure we're going to try to do a Seven Deadly Spins every month, unless nobody listens to it. but like, we're going to try to do it once a month, and
I'll show you.
I'll fucking make 17.
I'll start fucking talking about goddamn Olivia Rodrigo on here, man. I fucking love her,
dude. That song,
good for you,
is fucking catchy.
Brutal is
shit.
Good too. She's great.
She is good. She's good in a Avril Lavigne 2001 type way.
Oh, so, yeah, I agree.
You know what
like,
I mean?
Same thing with Willow. Willow Smith, yep. Dude. Her fucking shit with Travis Barker
like,
is
like,
not
her
bad.
Voice is shit, but.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm not seeing her live.
No.
But
if she
can give me a head bop in my car, that's cool. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so...
Oh, but yeah, anyways, coming up on the Federation.
Coming up on the Federation, Tyler, we're going to... It's Rumble season.
It's Rumble season.
Are you ready to Rumble?
We're not doing that.
No, we're not. but it is every man for himself. It's the Royal Rumble 1992.
Yes, every man for himself. First one for the WWF title. Ric Flair's in it, Hulk Hogan, Psycho Sid. The rest of the card you forget about. The rest of the card.
Well, Tyler,
except for the opener.
I'm
the opener is
force in your fucking skull.
Why?
That was a good fart. Anyways, Tyler's very familiar with Pat Tanaka of the Orient Express.
Yes.
Because the Orient Express, they take on the new foundation, Jim Neidhart and Owen Hart. Can't wait to see that.
It's supposed to be a really good episode, a really good match.
Really good match.
I've seen this show before.
Yeah, I'm sure I've seen it too. For the Intercontinental title, the Mountie takes on Roddy Piper. The Beverly Brothers take on the Bushwhackers. Oh my God, Jameson's with them and everything. Good Lord. by the way, Lanny Poffo's with the Beverly Brothers.
Yes. This is like the tail end of the Bushwhackers, right?
Good Lord, it should be, man. Maybe they stick around until 93. I don't think Jameson sticks around. For the tag team titles, Legion of Doom take on the Natural Disasters. And then we have the Royal Rumble match for the WWF title.
Yeah.
You know what happens. It's
one
of the most highly revered Royal Rumbles of all time.
Yeah. So, you know, great promo at the end of it with a tear in his eye.
With a tear in my eye.
that's what will be coming up. And then our other episode that will be coming out will be Royal Rumble 2001. Right? Yeah, 2001.
It's Rumble season.
It's Rumble season. So, yeah, it's Rumble month. Rumble in my jungle, baby. so we might as well get into our collective number one album of the year.
Good Lord, I forgot all about it, Tyler. Yeah, let's talk about our number one album of the year.
Yeah, the number one album of the year, we've already referenced them. We actually referenced them in the last album we talked about. But it is Turnstile, and...
Glow On
is a fucking phenomenal.
The stuff that they're doing on that album is so innovative and so incredible. And I have been listening to the singles that have been coming out all year.
Oh yeah,
Mystery, Blackout, Holiday, Fly
Holiday's
Again.
A fucking banger.
Holiday. Oh my good Lord, what a perfect song.
It's a holiday.
Like that.
Well, like there's a little bit of everything in Holiday, right? Like you've got like the experimental side, you've got the old school Turnstile, New York hardcore side to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a mishmash of all of them, right? Like the verse and the build up into the chorus, right? Like never fear the cold, right? It's fucking fantastic. Like just what he does with his voice and
the way he, with no direction.
Yeah, like he pulls you in. Like everything he says or sings is a hook.
Oh man,
the hooks
aren't
in the courses.
He does
the hooks are
perfectly.
Everywhere. Where like everything hooks you in, and like Underwater
Boy.
That
dude could read a phone book in. Underwater Boy, man, that's a fucking Pixie song.
Is it really, though?
No, but, like, the song flows. Like, when I first heard Underwater Boy, and it's like the doom-doom-doom-doom-doom-doom-doom-doom-doom-doom-doom-doom. It's Bird's Dream of the Olympus Mons. It's one of the... It's late Pixies, man, but I thought of that song immediately when I heard that song. It's my favorite song on the album, Underwater Boy.
Okay, 100%. Yeah. I can see that, though. Underwater Boy is a fucking awesome tune.
But, man, I didn't think that this album could have been as good as Nonstop Feeling or Time and Space. So I slept on this album. Mm. Like, I didn't give this album a shot until about a month ago.
Yeah, when I brought it up to you.
When you brought it up, and I'm like, oh man, I forgot about Glow On. Like, I just forgot about listening to it. Because I remember all the singles came out, and I'm like, I heard most of these songs already. Like, TLC came out, Alien Love Call came out. I heard all of these songs. I'm like, so I just got to, like, put six songs other than that away and listen to those, and then I've listened to the album already. But like, I put it on, I fucking loved it, man. Like, a couple of songs took me a bit to get into, but
yeah, like, because at first I didn't give No Surprise It's Just Due.
Oh, No Surprise.
But No Surprise is so fucking good.
I saw
look around the windows and the mirrors that you're looking at.
They put a live setup. At like a whole live set, like a 30-minute set.
They did it on YouTube, right?
Yeah, they start off with that, and I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was fucking in for, so I turned it off. And then when I played the album, I hear that, and it going right into Lonely Desires awesome. It's so great.
Lonely Desires is my favorite song on the album.
Underwater Boy, Holiday, Dance Off, No Surprise, and Lonely Desires. Mm. That's my top five. That's my fave five, brother.
My fave five. If I was, okay, Leslie, I'm going to go with Underwater Boy, Holiday, Wild World, New Heart Design, and Lonely Desires.
God, yeah, New Heart Design. That's like, this band's also got some like heavy Husker Du vibes.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I really find that. But needless to say, these guys are they're at the top of my wanting to see live the most.
100%. 100%.
Wow. Like, what a show these guys seem to put on.
Need to see them. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a must see.
Yeah.
Must see. I'll take a COVID bullet for that. But anyways, there we go. That's the seven most spun albums of 2021 for the Fudge Brothers.
Mm, I like that. Seven most. So yeah, there you go.
They're not the deadliest albums.
They're the most spun albums.
Most spun. Yeah, and with that being said, that is Seven Deadly Spins. I'm glad to take this out of the grave. Thank you for helping me resurrect this bad boy. And we'll be seeing you soon. And happy new year. Kwanzaa Festivus for the rest of us.
Chinese New Year.
Solemn and dignified Ramadan.
Yep.
Don't get too drunk on New Year's.
No, I can't anyways. I got to go live at 10 a.m. for Suplex City Limits. Yeah.
I was going to ask what you were doing anyway. You're going to come over and watch Rampage with me.
I can come over and watch Rampage with you.
Come over and watch Rampage with me. Maybe we can play the Shining board game finally.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Maybe. I don't think I'll be able to, though, because I still got to prep for SCL.
Ah, God damn it, Jim. Shaking my fist at you. I'm beating up my mic stand. But in the meantime and in between time, Tyler?
Take her easy.